Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Good Sunday morning. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase Studio in Tribune Tower on Michigan Avenue. I was just out on the WGN Storm Center patio, and yes, the snow has started again back here downtown. So be prepared for a long and long snowy day here in Chicago. Well, joining me now on the phone is my good friend and a good friend of the Sunday Spin, Amanda Vinicky, who is leaving Illinois Public Radio and WUIS-FM in Springfield to become a correspondent for WTTW Channel 11. Amanda, welcome to the show this morning. Thanks for getting up and congratulations.
Good morning, Rick, and thank you. Yes, I'm excited to be up there in the city with you. Right now I'm in Springfield, and we have no snow. So an easier commute, I suppose, but far less beautiful.
So you're just trying to rub that in for all of us, right?
Yeah, sorry about that, guys.
Actually,
no, really, it's a weekend. It's Sunday. It's beautiful to look at, right?
I actually was kind of hoping that today was like your moving day. You know, just
packing day.
It's a packing.
I'm bright and early for that. Thank you.
Now, when do you start at Channel 11?
January 3rd.
Ah.
First work day of 2017.
So you'll be madly spending your New Year's Eve and New Year's Day preparing, I assume.
Exactly.
No.
So, all those good New Year's resolutions. I can really get everything started off.
Yeah. I know. I bet you're better at maintaining your resolutions than I ever was. That's for sure.
You know, I've been good at a couple. I go on and off generally. I think what you're supposed to settle on one goal, and I maybe get overambitious and try and set about 10 resolutions, and go figure. That isn't all that effective.
Really?
Go figure.
All right. Well, there's some advice.
It's a matter of settling on one.
there's some good advice for all you out there as you ponder those New Year's resolutions. I wanted to talk about the Springfield impasse, and I know it sounds like a broken record sometimes or whatever, but Governor Rauner was. I guess now he's discovered social media is a way to communicate. And on Facebook or Twitter, he actually sent out a public message calling on Democratic lawmakers to stop a lawsuit that he calls frivolous over their demands that they get paid.
I'm calling on Democratic legislators to put taxpayers and critical human services ahead of their own personal gain by dropping the lawsuit to prioritize their paychecks. Paying politicians shouldn't be put ahead of human services or school funding. It's simply insulting to demand otherwise. This lawsuit is a stunning reminder of why we need term limits and real change in Springfield. I've also called on Comptroller Mendoza to fight this in court, hire an outside attorney, and work every day against this lawsuit just like Comptroller Munger did. Democrats should do the right thing and end this frivolous lawsuit. Democrats need to put human services and taxpayers ahead of themselves. They should be putting pressure on their leadership to work with Republicans on passing a balanced budget with reforms that create jobs, lower property taxes, and improve our schools. If they won't do a balanced budget, they shouldn't be paid first. No budget, no pay.
So that was Governor Rauner and his G-dropping Twitter social media message. And, you know, one of the things that struck me was leading up to all of this was that he had made a big point, the governor, of wanting meetings every day with legislative leaders on the budget. In fact, last Sunday after the show, I had to go over to the James R. Thompson Center and cover a leaders meeting. But then all of a sudden he pulls the plug, demands that Democrats present their own legislative budget plan, and Democrats say it's the Republicans need to present their plan. And now no meetings.
Mm-hmm. So, all right, so much to unpack there. That's number one. Yes, the governor certainly has discovered social media, and I still do think we need to give him credit for generally being available for Q&As, more so at least than his predecessors, though, of course, not as much as we in the media would like. It does seem as if it's been a while since he's had any sort of availability, at least in the Capitol, following the leaders' meetings that did take place after he called for daily gatherings. He left it really to the Republican legislative leadership. He didn't come out afterwards at all in Springfield to speak at those. So
and
a
Amanda,
little bit of circumvention there to go straight to social media.
Yeah, and that was true as well with the leaders' meetings here in Chicago. That it was
right. Oh, exactly. Mm-hmm.
It was left to the Republican leaders to kind of carry the freight here. But
carry the freight and pass on the message, and then him going straight to social media to say these things. And of course, there's a certain amount of irony where he goes straight to social media with a video like the one that you played the audio from. Then there's also, of course, the Boss Madigan website and the stream of press releases coming from the state Republican Party, where it very much is campaign mode, and you're not seeing that from the Democratic side. And of course, there's the irony there because the governor is saying those things, and that message was very, I guess it kind of slammed Democrats, but it was meant more to, I think, frame the governor himself as the reasonable one and drop that lawsuit, and so we can talk more about that in a bit. But even as the governor is calling on Democrats to say, you know, get over it, stop the campaigning, time to govern. So we have that. Further, as you noted, Rick, yes, the governor had said, I want daily meetings. And then he was the one that canceled the meeting that was supposed to have last occurred on Thursday. And it was because of, as you noted, supposedly his administration basically said that Democrats weren't ready with a framework or really kind of the next steps in budgeting that they had wanted to take. And Democrats are saying, hey, wait a second. This seems like a ploy to have us do the dirty work for you and to have on paper a plan that would include some sort of revenue increase, a.k.a. tax hike, so that then the governor could take to social media and say, in the last meeting, Democrats wanted to raise your taxes, and here's the proof. And they say that they're really not going to fall into that sort of trap. As a result, the daily meetings that the governor had wanted are off. I mean, I don't know that any have been scheduled, and it's basically an indefinite delay, as far as I know.
Well, and it's a dance, and no one wants to lead because it's the fear factor of everybody. I shouldn't say everybody, but most acknowledge that for any kind of comprehensive budget plan, that there's going to have to be a tax increase, and no party wants to wear the jacket for it.
Exactly. And so it is that dance. I do think it's remarkable that this meeting was delayed indefinitely after the governor had made those calls to meet every day, because at the very least, I think that is one of the things that has been most astounding. When I talk to people, they say, how can they not even be talking? How can they not even be getting together? Particularly when you have a deadline looming like the stopgap spending plan that will be expiring basically about the time that I'm starting this new job. Illinois will be without a budget, and one would expect in any other occupation, you'd be working down to the deadline to try and prevent any sort of calamity from happening. And instead, it's this political dance. And though I think there is widespread recognition that a tax increase will be needed, you still haven't seen the Democrats, frankly, seem to be able or at all willing to get on board with any elements of the governor's demands that would get to a budget. You haven't seen the Republicans coming forward with any sort of true balanced budget plan or dropping truly of those demands. As you heard in that message, the governor now is saying, I'll do another stopgap. If they do property taxes and term limits, those are two of the more popular to the public demands. You know, how many people do you have from the public really demanding local government consolidation and prevailing wage. That's not something that gets people up in the morning and rallies the crowd. So he's took two of the really popular items, but I think particularly with term limits, one that's least likely to actually see any action in Springfield, to hold out for what? Another temporary plan? I don't think that's going to happen. So, yeah, it's a dance. It's a mess. It's disheartening.
We're talking about the dance with Amanda Vinicky, who is the new correspondent for WTTW Channel 11 here, public television in Chicago. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin.
Seems to hear words of good cheer from everywhere, filling the air. Oh, how they pour, raising the sound high, a day, other day. Ring, ring, while people sing songs of good cheer. Christmas is here.
Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase studio on snowy Michigan Avenue. And on the phone is Amanda Vinicky from Springfield, who is going to be starting in January as the new correspondent with WTTW Channel 11. We're talking about the Springfield impasse. And, you know, Amanda, it used to be when there were impending deadlines, things like what we're facing with the end of the stopgap spending plan that expires with the end of this year, that was a motivating factor. And I have to wonder if, because of what we've experienced in all of this kind of budget turmoil for the past 2 years, if, you know, deadlines are meaningless. Let's face it, under various court orders, 90% of government was basically still functioning even when we didn't have any budget.
You know, that's a good point, Rick. I think that in a way they are meaningless because there have been surveys. Yes, people are aware that there isn't a budget. They hear the stories. But for many people, things are functioning just fine. Unless you're one of the affected services, everything is okay. So the deadline doesn't really mean much. And I think further, a deadline doesn't mean much to the leadership and to the lawmakers who are really should be facing down that deadline unless they plan to do something about it. And though they were having those talks, and depending on who you talk to, there was a little bit of headway. It really is. I have used this before, but I will echo Paula Abdul with the two steps forward, two steps back. And so what's the point of a deadline if they're really not caring about it as a deadline? And so there's that. But of course, this is huge. And I think the reason that you and I need to discuss it and we need to talk about it is because of who it does affect. And when you look at universities and the social service agencies that are not covered by any of those court decrees, this is uncertainty piled on top of a long period of unprecedented uncertainty this past year that drained really their resources and ability to react. You know, it's like being sick when you are starting off with a compromised immune system and then you go and you head into the winter or get the flu or what have you. It's harder to bounce back. You're going to get sicker. And that's kind of in that state that our universities and social service agencies are in at this point in time. And we're basically leading them right into that trap. It's like, all right, they've been ailing. They had a cold. Maybe they've been getting over it a little bit with this stopgap budget. And then come the start of the year, we're going to throw them down in there with the snakes.
Well, and you know, I go back to last Sunday and the meeting that was held with the leaders and the governor at the Thompson Center, and there you had kind of the Democrats under Speaker Madigan saying, well, let's relaunch these working groups to talk about things. But also he brought in his budget point man, human services budget point man, Representative Greg Harris, and they went on to say that, well, there are so many things that are going to be changing with a new Trump administration coming in, and we need to do evaluations of that, of the effects of the lockbox amendment and that kind of thing. And I have to tell you, it's not, this isn't the, like the first time the state has had to deal with a change in transition at the White House. And I'm not sure that there was any great, you know, need for major budget modification reviews to take place.
Are you trying to say that rang a little hollow to you, Rick? No. Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, Trump, of course, is a new level of, yes, we don't know. No state knows.
Yeah, it's a new level of uncertainty.
Right. But the point that Republicans raised, and a fair one, is that, okay, you know, we're not going to have a President Trump, and there aren't going to be a lot of decisions on these fiscal matters at the federal level into well into the point that Illinois will have that stopgap will have expired. So we can't wait for that. All things that I suppose are fair to consider. But again, you given that Illinois has gone this long without a budget, you'd think that we would have some time. And in any sort of budget, you want to have a little bit of cushion and room to be able to react. So I don't think completely invalid points, but certainly no reason to not go forward with talks or a budget plan, or you can factor that in without any sort of real cold hard data. I don't know. I'm not a budgeteer. Point being that I don't think that that is truly what is holding things up. Republicans say that they believe Democrats are stalling. I would say that it sounds in a sense like both sides are stalling because of what we talked about initially, and that is that to truly get to a balanced budget, you're going to presumably need to raise more revenue, and that is been the case for a while, but the more that Illinois is without a budget and therefore the interest that the state is paying on overdue bills and the more that all of that uncertainty impacts growth in the state and what have you, that revenue need is only increasing, and thus neither side wants to be the one that goes out there and says it. Although I should add, Rick, that you're already having that finger pointing. Though there hasn't been a serious discussion, at least on the leadership level, it seems, about taxes, and they're wary of that. There was a working group that talked about it. We all have known for quite some time, vaguely, the numbers that were being looked at in agreement. And you already have Speaker Madigan characterizing it as Bruce Rauner's lame duck tax increase, and the governor talking about a tax increase that he said has first been proposed by Speaker Madigan.
So right.
Already they've got those fingers pointed.
And have been actually for quite some time. Very quickly, Amanda, I want to go back to that issue of the lawsuit that some Democratic members filed to get their pay. And, you know, number one, bad optics. And, of course, these are lawmakers who really are not going to ever face a challenge in a political way. But at the same time, there is the Constitution, and the idea, the Constitution that prevents, you know, being able to kind of hijack lawmakers' pay as a way to force them into taking action. Frankly, that was something Pat Quinn tried, and a Cook County court struck that down.
Right. The Constitution, twofold, first of all, says that legislators or any elected officials' pay at the state level cannot be changed midway through their term, kind of for just this reason, because so it isn't used for political reasons. And further, you have the separation of powers. And so that the whole point is that you got three branches of government and they're all supposed to be equal. So you can't have an executive branch, in this case, comptroller or the governor. They're determining no pay for legislators. What the governor was talking about there, no budget, no pay. That's not something that we're actually seeing. This is a delay in their paychecks because, again, lack of budget means Illinois has got roughly $10 billion in bills that it can't afford to pay. So legislators' paychecks are somewhere in that stack. I believe they last were paid in August. So that is tough for legislators that don't have other jobs. Critics would say, well, of course it's tough, but that's the same situation that you're putting these universities and organizations through. They also don't have the means to be able to put up with that. We'll see what the courts say. Again, it seems as if Pat Quinn was the trial run for this, and they won't. This won't be acceptable that you're going to see legislators getting paid if, in fact, this lawsuit is kind of the common prevailing thought that they will then get their paychecks. But I would wonder if the courts would see any difference, because this is not necessarily, again, a no paycheck. It is a delay in their paychecks. So we'll see if that is something that the courts take up at all.
That's Amanda Vinicky. She is leaving Illinois Public Radio and WUIS-FM in Springfield to, after the first of the year, become a correspondent with WTTW Channel 11 here in Chicago. And we look forward to seeing you a lot on Channel 11. Thank you, Amanda.
Thank you. Happy holidays.
And to you. We'll be back with more right after this.